Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Stephen Moore, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us here on the Dom Giordano program.
My pleasure.
Well, you know, I just want to take you back. I've interviewed you, I don't know how many times over the years, but back when I was still a teacher, you did this thing for 2020, I guess it was, in which you talked about things have never been better. And you went through, was just tremendous. And I was just starting to get into this at that point and just thought how that was put together and that insight. Well, you have to be pretty happy with your new book then, Trumponomics, where a lot of the things that you've talked about are playing out. And I want to talk about them. But Trump is an unusual figure here. There are some things that maybe you historically have not been in support of, but maybe you see in a limited way they're working for Trump.
Well, you know, when I first met Trump, I did not have a positive opinion of him. I talk about this in my book, Trumponomics, that, you know, when I met him in early 2016, when he was just getting his campaign started, I kind of thought he was a blowhard. I thought he was, you know, I thought the whole run for the presidency was kind of a publicity gimmick. And I remember when Larry Kudlow, who's now the chief economist for Trump, and I went to go see Trump in his office, we're just blown away by, you know, the force of his personality. He's incredibly, likable and attentive and a very generous guy. And we had a great time with him. I remember when we walked out of that room with Trump, we said, gosh, this guy could actually win the election. He's really got that X factor that is so important in politics. And he's got the right vision of rebuilding the middle class. And as the theme was, you know, make America great again. And so it was a lot of fun. I had the time of my life. He's an optimist, too. I mean, that's one of the big differences, I think, between, you know, conservatives and liberals. I mean, we are, as conservatives, free marketeers, we're optimistic about the future of our economy, about our environment, about the direction of mankind. And liberals are doom and gloom.
Stephen Moore with us, I don't think he gets enough credit for that. And I wanted to ask you, Trumponomics, yeah, and your colleague Laffer, who wrote part of the book with you, versus Reaganomics, that Reagan, because it was a sunnier sort of confidence.
Yep.
But Trump has the exact same thing, even though it's not in exactly the Reagan-esque form, and it's in his own Trump form. I like to say he brings fresh eyes to this stuff and says, why not this level of growth?
Exactly. You know, that's a great point. You know, and by the way, I worked for Ronald Reagan and I've worked for, Trump. And I'm often asked, you know, how are they similar and how are they different? And, you know, they're different in a lot of ways. I mean, but one of the, I think, three similarities are these. Number one is the one you just mentioned. They were both optimistic about the future of our country and about the future of our planet. And they felt like every problem is solvable. They don't believe in the doom and gloom. Second of all, they both love people. Reagan loved people, and Trump loves people. He loves being at rallies and listening to people, and he's just so into that. And thirdly, you know, they both believe in the free market system, that this is the solution to our problems. And so Trump, you know, when it came to cutting taxes, reducing regulations, you know, keeping inflation down, is that pro-business. You know, he's very much into that. Now, the one area you mentioned, earlier that I disagree with Trump on is trade. I worry about some of these trade protectionist policies, and I think that some of them have been damaging, especially the steel tariffs, but, you know, nobody's perfect.
Well, I was going to ask you, though, I think of myself more in your mode, too, but there is this bonds Trump with the American worker in a direct way. And with the Chinese, what else would we do rather than the way that he's taken them on frontally? I'm reluctant. We know where tariffs end. You're a brilliant economist, and everybody that I respect would say the same thing. What happens with that? But what should he be doing with the Chinese then?
Well, there's two different issues here. I mean, and I'm glad you clarified this. I am very much in favor of taking a very hard line with China. I think China is a bad actor. I think they've become an adversary, not an ally of the United States, that they've moved in the wrong direction in the march towards freedom. They are more centrally planned, and the human rights violations are getting really terrible. They're building up their military. So we should treat China more like it's almost like a Cold War situation that we have with China right now. So I'm in favor of getting tough with China. I just don't like the idea of steel tariffs and aluminum tariffs and auto tariffs on our allies. I think that's just a mistaken policy that actually is going to hurt Americans more than it's going to help us. So that's an important distinction. And by the way, I think Trump is going to win with respect to China. I think China is going to back down here. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I can guarantee you one thing, knowing as I do Trump, He is not going to back down when it comes to China.
We're talking with Stephen Moore, his brand-new book, Trumponomics. Stephen, let me ask you, too, about this column that was sent out along with the blurb about the book that you've just written.
Yep.
This is in time for the midterms. Why the left hates prosperity? And first of all, tell people where they can find that.
Well, it's on the heritage.org website, and you know, it's the basic theme of that is the liberals are rooting against America right now. They want Trump to fail, they want America to fail, and so they don't like the fact that the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in 50 years. They don't like the fact that, you know, we have 7 million more jobs than we have people to fill them. They don't like the fact that, you know, our economy is now growing at near 4% when Obama got us nowhere near 4%. So, you know, they're angry, and they are there's an old saying that liberals hate Trump more than they love America. And that's not true of all liberals, but it's true of a lot of them.
Is that a long-term thing, though, in addition to Trump? And here's something else that I don't know if you sense it. I hear from callers, et cetera. When the tax cuts first came in, people could not wait to call me, almost holding up the check how much more they've seen. The tax cuts are not a big issue in this election cycle. I wish we were having it on the economy and the tax cuts. Why that disconnect? Is it just the media doesn't talk about it enough, or people not experiencing it yet?
I think they're clearly experiencing it. You know, you saw the consumer spending
right.
numbers that came out last week. People are feeling it in their wallet, and they're going out and spending, and that's, you know, they're going to the shopping centers, and they're going to the restaurants, and they're buying new furniture and, that kind of thing. So, they're feeling the positive effects of this roaring economy. I think the answer to your question is Republicans are incompetent. You know, they can't even sell water in a desert. You know, I mean, they just are, I get so frustrated with Republicans. How hard is it to explain to people there's a lot of reasons the economy is exploding, but one of them is clearly this tax cut. And Democrats are basically saying they want to repeal the tax cut and go back to the 1.6% growth we had under Obama. I mean, that's silly. That's just a stupid policy, and I wish Republicans could articulate. It's not hard to connect the dots that when you have healthier businesses, right, because Trump is pro-business. This was a tax cut for American businesses so they could expand their operations, hire more workers, bring factories back to the United States. That's happening, and Republicans have to say that's one of the reasons we've got all these surplus of jobs now. It's one of the reasons your paycheck is bigger. It's one of the reasons you're getting bonuses and more overtime pay. I just wish I could sort of knock the Republicans across the head and say, come on, communicate that message to voters.
I agree with you. It should be doable. I experienced the same thing. We're talking with Stephen Moore. Stephen, what do you see down the road? I'm not a big fan because I think this has blown up before. I trust Trump, and I wanted to hear what you had to say due to the builder in him. But you know that infrastructure money, when you start throwing it around, it seems like enough elements out there always find a way to waste it.
Well, look, when it comes to infrastructure, what I favor, and I think Trump is leaning in this direction, and especially when you look at some of the plans he's come out with, is, you know, we need infrastructure. We need more roads. We need more LNG terminals. We need more pipelines. We need, better ports, to expand the American economy. But none of that has to be paid for with government tax money. Right? I mean, a lot of that can be built with private sector money. The energy infrastructure we need, all we need is the government to permit the stuff and to give, building permits so we can build the pipelines. I mean, there's a lot of states, it's insane, where, you're there in Pennsylvania. I mean, Pennsylvania is a state that has so much energy resources, the shale oil and gas, but we don't have the pipelines to get that stuff to Boston, Massachusetts. You know, how stupid is that?
Now, to that point, too, the Saudis, soon enough after the midterms, will be in the news again, leverage they have over us and all. Give me a sense of, given how driven we are to cut regulation and what Trump has done to explore energy sources, why is it they still have what seems to be significant leverage over us?
Who's that?
Saudis.
Oh, well, because, look, they first of all, they don't have nearly the leverage they once had, right? I mean, I grew up in the, I think as you did, in the 70s
yes.
and in the 80s when they, you know, they literally had a knife to our throat and they could dictate the world price. That's not the case anymore because we're the biggest producer in the world today. By the way, that happened under Donald Trump. The United States became the biggest producer of oil and gas in the world. And I don't know if you saw the headline today that came out of the Energy Department. Since 2005, we have reduced our carbon emissions by 28%. So we're producing more energy and we're reducing our carbon footprint. You're not going to read that in the mainstream media, right?
No, I didn't see that as much as I scour and all that. You're right. It's blurred.
I'll send you the report. It's amazing. Of all the countries in the world, we've reduced our carbon emissions the most, and we have never been in the Kyoto Treaty. We're not part of the Paris Climate Accord. You know, we're seen as the environmental Darth Vader, when in fact we're the ones that are cleaning up the environment, and these countries like China and India are the ones that are, you know, polluting it. So anyway, I had to get that off my chest because it was an amazing little but now I even forget what the question was.
Well, you've answered it. You've answered it. I let Stephen Moore go here, the Dom Giordano Show. Stephen, so what else in the book would you tune to that you think is the core of Trumponomics and why all this is working, and project it a little into the future of how it's going to work?
It's very simple. Trump is pro-business. I said it before, but I'll say it again. I mean, it makes a world of difference when you replace a community organizer with somebody who actually knows how to build a business, meet a payroll, wants America to succeed. It puts America first. And this is almost attitudinal. And you saw it really the day after the election, right, where consumer confidence, I'm talking about the 2016 election, where consumer confidence, business confidence, the stock market went through the roof. It's because, you know, the economy has a new spring in its step. And this is a president that people know. If you're a businessman or woman, you know that if you succeed, you know, the government's not going to come after you with a billy club and hit you over the head.
Absolutely. Stephen, thank you as always. And again,
let's do it again soon. It's been too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime that we love to talk about it. Good luck with the new book, too, Trumponomics. Thank you for the breakdown today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.